faith and questioned, well, is what I believe true? And is Jesus really the Son of God? And does it all actually make sense? And what is this thing called life? And how is my faith consistent with all the struggles and difficulties and the things that I see on TV? And well, John the Baptist felt the same. And that encourages me, because Jesus talks about him as the greatest prophet. And so if the greatest prophet is able to scratch his head and question and go, is that right? Does that make sense? Is Jesus the one? Then we're in good company in those moments where we might struggle and doubt. I wonder how your preparations for Christmas are going. But had discussion. Rick was talking about he got the tree yesterday. Chris sorted their tree out. We were a week early because when we lived in America, the tradition was the weekend after Thanksgiving, you got everything ready. So we've gotten into that tradition, even though deep down, I'm very aware that Christmas doesn't actually start until the 24th of December. What I really want to do is say to my kids, no, it's Advent. Of course, we're not going to decorate the house. But we do. We do, we do. And we put the presents around the tree. We finished off our Christmas shopping on Friday. I say finished off. I was walking around with Lizzie while she finished off the Christmas shopping, and I suddenly realized that I hadn't actually bought her anything. So at some point, I need to go shopping to make sure that I do my Christmas shopping. I don't know about your preparations for Christmas, but Jesus spoke about John as the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was spoken about at his birth as the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah, when he spoke those words, was speaking of a time of someone who would come to prepare the way of the Lord. And our Christmas preparations remind us that we're in a time of Advent, a time of preparation. And then it's not just preparing for the celebration of Christmas, but it's preparing our very lives to be a place where God is welcome. And it's being that sign and that presence to others of what it means to have God welcome in their lives. So I've been thinking a bit about what it means to prepare a way or prepare the road or prepare a pathway that will be fit for a king. And really what the text is talking about is a highway. A highway. Now, you and I think of a highway as a motorway. They didn't think of that in those days because they didn't have cars. But a highway was a safe place. A highway was a place where you could just get on with the journey. And John's message was one that we should be preparing ourselves for God to make the journey to us in Christ. Now, here's a picture of those who dug out the cuttings of a railway. So you can see so many people hard at work. And it struck me as I was thinking about preparing the way of the Lord. It's not easy work. It's getting the big boulders out of the way that would otherwise get in the way. It's digging through the hills. It's building bridges over the valleys. These things are the stuff of our lives that get in the way of God having a clear access to our hearts. I'm sure you've been walking in the Peak District and you know the difference as you're climbing up a hill and there's a stony path. And I talked a few months ago, didn't I, about the vision of what it's like from the top and reminding us that we keep going because of what the vision is. But you have to focus, don't you, on making sure you don't trip over the rocks. And sometimes you have to climb. It's slow work. That's not a highway. A highway is flat and clear and easy to walk along. And that's the kind of picture that John was painting. That's the image, probably not that image because they didn't know what a railway was, but you know what I mean. Make straight the paths for the Lord. John the Baptist's message was the same as Jesus's message about how that happens. Repent and believe. Repent means to change our minds, to turn around, to rethink things and align our thoughts and align our decisions and align our words with a godly way of living, as opposed to those with the rocks and the stones in the way. It means literally turning around. It means literally blasting through the hills, building bridges over the valleys. So there's a straight highway for the Lord. But the reality is, it's an ongoing change, isn't it? Because once the railway's been dug, like that's a lovely picture of a railway, but the cutting's dug now, isn't it? There's a straight path for the trains to go through. But you know what might happen? They might get the wrong kind of leaves on the line, or the wrong kind of snow on the line, or one of the rails might break, or one of the ties might snap. And there's some maintenance that needed for the highways, for the railways, and for the roadways, for the motorways. I don't know how many people have had their windscreen smashed by a rock that comes flying up and smashes it because it was hit by another car. The motorways themselves need to be kept clean. And how many people have ever got stuck in roadworks? I know that doesn't really happen very often around here. Getting stuck in roadworks. Why? Because they're repairing the roads. Why? Because they get broken. Why? Because they get used. And our lives as we use them gets filled with all kind of muck and all kind of stuff. And on Friday, as Lizzie and I were walking into town, we walked past the Middlewood Lock development just to see how it was developing. And a road sweeper came sweeping past. And to be honest, it looked like it was making the road about as dirty as it was before. But the difference was the big bits were getting cleaned out. Now, that's not a photo of it happening, but that is a photo of a road sweeper clearing up the stuff so that the road stays secure and clean and clear. And that's why we as Christians gather together each week to worship Jesus, to remember that we don't want those rocks or stones in our lives. We need to clear that way. We need to come before God as we did earlier in repentance. Say, Lord, we're sorry. We've messed it up again. We've had mixed motives about this again. I've let someone down again. I've let you down again. I'm sorry. And in Christ, the Father says, you're forgiven. Sweep it away. Let's make the road clear and clean. You remember, of course, the story of John's birth. You remember his dad, Zechariah, was visited by an angel when he was in the temple. And the angel says, you're going to have a son. And John went, no, we're not. And the angel went, what? Well, to prove that I'm right and you're not, you're going to be struck dumb until you do have a son. So Zechariah came out and wasn't able to speak for 9 months, at least 9 months. But then, when the naming ceremony came, and he wrote in a tablet, his name is John, he was able to speak. And he spoke a prophecy over John that's read every single morning at morning prayer. The prophecy about John's role in bringing God's good news to earth. And this is what it said. These are the words that Zechariah spoke over his son in Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. You, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. You'll go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do as well. That prophetic word that was spoken over John to be one who would be a sign of God's freedom and forgiveness, that we would know that we're forgiven and free, that we would know that in our lives and that we would share that with others too. On Tuesday at the PCC, we were talking about seeing this congregation grow, the 930 congregation grow. How do we do that? What do we do? How do we see it develop and grow? And we agreed it's about each one of us inviting others, sharing God's good news, praying for others, being those that do the work of digging out the cutting in other people's lives, of being the road sweeper, of bringing the good news of God's love, God's peace, both in our lives and through our lives. That's why we want to encourage you to invite people to Alpha. It's why we want to encourage you to invite people to the carol services. It's why we want you to share God's good news. Offering to pray for people when they mention that times are hard. And that can be daunting, can't it? But it gives us the opportunity to remind people of the hope that we have that they may not. John the Baptist challenges us to remember that our job is to give people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of all their sins and to walk and invite others to walk in the way of peace. The peace that's given to us through Christ. So may we, each one of us, make a way for the Lord in our own lives and help others do the same.